You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
I know it's Mother's Day, and that's a wonderful day, but there's some things I want to say this morning that I think can be very challenging to us all. And yet I believe it's important, because sometimes we have to take what the Bible says and really look at it in a clear way, and not try and kind of smooth it around and make it nicely rose-colored type things. So this morning I want to talk about forgiveness. But before I get into that, there's a saying that's been going around for some time that says, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. King David, when he had this adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, and he arranged for Uriah, her husband, to be killed in a battle, he told the captain, the commander Joab, to put him in the worst place of the fighting. When he gets surrounded, you withdraw from him so he can die, because Bathsheba was pregnant. When he was confronted by his sin, which was by Nathan, David said these words. You read them in Psalm 51. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and put a steadfast spirit within me. Create a clean heart, a pure heart within me. He knew it was a heart issue. And unless his heart was changed, his behavior wouldn't change. Nothing would change, because it was to do with his heart. I think most of us have been shocked and surprised by some of the things that have been taking place in well-known world charities, about being there in the guise of helping and yet actually abusing and misusing their positions to get what they wanted. I think we've been surprised, shocked. But actually, should we be? Should we be? In Syria, this isn't men and women dying because they're bombing. Chemical weapons have been used. You only have to go back 50, 60 years, whatever it is, the atrocities that took place in the Second World War and have continued ever since. But there were atrocities before that. It's almost like man becomes inhuman. Trafficking today, people put in slavery, and when they no longer need it, they're just disposed of, and I literally mean disposed of in many cases. We see the kind of the migrants coming across the Mediterranean, being put into boats that the people supplying the boats know they're probably not going to make it to the other side. Now, to me, it's all on the television. Television sanitizes so many things because you're not there. And my grandson, Josh, he's in the Navy. He's in the Mediterranean. And actually, one of the boat he's on has picked up some of these people. Now, you see, that's a different reality than I've got, because he's seen them. He's seen what they have. State of the boats that they come in, all for the sake of money. You give me, I couldn't care less whether you die in the world, men, women, and children. So why should we be surprised when these things happen? Because unless our hearts change, nothing will change. Nothing. In the Old Testament, mostly, God gave a set of commands that he wanted mankind to obey. We call it the Old Covenant, but there's probably a couple. The old one that Jesus referred to about making a new one from the old one. And it was where he gave a set of commands that he wanted mankind to obey. But actually, God knew they could never keep them anyway. So he said, sin is so serious, you should die when you sin. But I'm going to make a way out. You take an animal and you kill it, and I will take the death of that animal for your death, a spotless lamb. And they even had a ritual where they put their hands onto the animal. And it was as if all their sin went into the animal, its purity came on them, and then it was killed. And God said, I'll take that at this time, and I'll keep you alive. In a sense, I won't kill you. God knew they could never keep it. And the Bible's clear. It said, what if God was wrong? Men would know how much they needed to be saved, how something had to change. You think of the thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of animals that over hundreds of years were killed because God accepted that death instead of mankind, and nothing changed. God knew nothing would change. And that's why the old covenant had to go and a new one had to come. Read these words from Hebrews, and I've read this a few times of late, but this is so revolutionary that if we don't grasp this, we miss what's going on. So it's reading from Hebrews chapter 10. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. I just told you there was millions of sacrifices before and couldn't change anything. But now, one. Past, present, future. One sacrifice. People have been made holy through Jesus. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Jesus talked about this the night he was being betrayed. And he put it into place as he died on the cross. This new covenant has been established. I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds. Not now on blocks of stone, but in your heart. Because unless our hearts are changed, nothing else will. God has provided the remedy for our sin and our changed hearts. I had a look yesterday. You can go on and see how many times words are used in the Bible. And I wanted to look at heart, love, and sin. In the Bible, and I've done this from the NIV because it varies depending on what translations you use. Heart is mentioned 570 times in the Bible. Love is mentioned 551 times. Sin is mentioned 474. The heart. Unless our hearts change, nothing will change. Nothing. I believe there's many areas that can make our hearts more like what God wants. It's not just a one-off. If we deal with that, that's right. But I want to read you, or talk maybe is better, about a parable Jesus spoke. And we tend to think of this as a children's parable. And there's a lovely song that goes with it. The wise man built his house upon the sand. Have you heard it? The wise man, Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains came, the waters rose, and the storms came, and they hit that house, but it did not fall because it was built on the rock. But the foolish man, he built his house on the sand. And the rains came, the winds blew, the waters rose, the storm hit, and the house went splat. And God says, this is relating to his word that you hear and put into practice. If you don't put God's word into practice, when God said it, you're building on sand. You are building on sand. Both builders use the same materials. Both houses experience the same storms. One wasn't specially protected. One didn't have a force field around it, so when the storm, it just bounced off. It was the same storm, Jesus is saying, hit both houses. And the only difference was what its foundation was built upon. And I think that's reality for most Christians. Sometimes Christians think we're not going to experience the storms others do, but we do. Jesus never promised we wouldn't, but we do. And whether we stand or fall depends on what you've built upon. And Jesus said, if you hear my words and put them into practice, if we don't put Jesus' words in practice, you're building on sand. And that can be in every situation in your land, in your life. It can be in health. It can be in relationship. It can be in finance. If we do not do what God says, we build on sand. And Jesus doesn't say, if a storm comes. He says, when the storm comes. Each one of us are going to face storms in life, and most of us have. And by the grace of God, we still stand. Because we're building on the rock. I want to speak about this area of forgiveness in our lives. And what God tells us to do. It's a very touchy subject for some. Might be very difficult for others. And some might say, it's nothing to do with me, I have no problem. But at least if we speak it and says what the Bible says, then at least we know. A few weeks ago, we've been doing a program out with the young people. And it was a 4-week session. It was called Fear. And I was doing the second one. It was a little talk for about 15 minutes. And it was aimed at young people. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Fear. And he talked about forgiving people. How many of us relate forgiveness to do with fear? But actually, he's absolutely right. Fear of being able to go and put stuff right. Let's forget it. It doesn't matter. Oh, you know, we're fearful of doing it. But he said this statement. He says, your heart cannot be right with God if your heart isn't right with each other. If we're not right, if we're right with God, how can we be not right with people? How can it be? And that's what he's saying. Again, he's saying it's a heart issue. If your heart's right with God, it should be right with each other. And if it's not, then you have to question the first. Because if we don't do what Jesus says, then we're building on sand. And we have to be honest about that. A couple of parables. Jesus said this. Or he was asked a question, how should I pray? And this is what he replied. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you. I don't think we read that version of the Lord's Prayer as often as the other gospel. That's from Matthew. Because this is really conditional. If we don't forgive, then this says God does not forgive you. How many of you do not want to be forgiven for what you've done? How many of you would rather carry your own sin and not be forgiven? But if we want to be forgiven, we need to forgive. And it's, to me, this is so clear. To forgive is our responsibility. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not a feeling. It's a decision of our hearts. I will forgive. I will do it. In Matthew, Jesus also said, if another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, then you have won that person back. And what was interesting, this teaching I said with the young people, he said these three things if you've got a problem with somebody. Go directly, go immediately, and go humbly. And by that it meant if I've got a problem with Bill Smith, whoever, don't go through three other people first before you get to Bill Smith. Go and sort it out straight away with him. Not tomorrow, not next week, immediately. And go humbly. You know, we're very protective of ourselves. Oh, it's all their fault. But actually, you might find when you get there, some of it was yours as well. Some people can be very gracious to forgive, but might not even realize they need to ask for forgiveness at the same time. So go directly, go immediately, and go humbly. And we'll be blessed when we do. We've just taken the offering. Matthew 5, verses 23 to 24. It's from a translation called The Voice, puts it this way. Therefore, if you're bringing an offering to God, and you remember that your brother is angry at you or holds a grudge against you, then leave your gift before the altar. Go to your brother, repent, and forgive each other. Be reconciled, and then return to the altar to offer your gift to God. Do you know what that's saying to me? God knows what's going on inside there. God looks at the heart, not looks at the outward appearance. If we come and give the gift and we know somebody's got something against us or we've got something against somebody else, this says, put that right first. Don't play games with God. Because God knows exactly what's going on in your heart. No matter what we say, no matter what we appear to each other, God actually knows what's going on. It's all to do with the heart. And then a parable Jesus told. I'm going to read this from Matthew 18, from the NIV, it's verses 21 to 35. Most of you will know this. Then Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times seven, but 70 times seven. Some translations put it at 77 times. So if anybody wants to do the maths on that, 7 times 7 is 490 times. So you need a little book at home, have fun, and if the same person comes, you go through it, and if they get to 500 or whatever, sorry, Jesus didn't mean that. He meant as long as they come, forgive. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Keep that figure in mind. 10,000 bags of gold. And he was brought to him. And since his servant was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. I don't think they would have raised 10,000 bags of gold. So it was never going to pay the debt that was owed. Never going to repay it. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. And he grabbed him, and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged. And they went and told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. You wicked servant. He said, I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back everything he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Do you want me to read that again? No. In anger, his master handed him over to be put in prison until he paid it back into the hands of the torturers. Can anybody imagine that God puts people to be tortured? No? Forgiveness is about the heart. To God, it's the most vital thing, because if we do not forgive, we break our relationship with God and we break it with each other. It's a heart issue. We don't think of him being tortured. This is Jesus speaking. But often people who will not forgive, sometimes resentment's on them. You know, they become a bit prickly. Sometimes you can sense that something's not right. They lose their peace. You know, even their health can be damaged. All these can happen because somebody will not forgive. And actually often, rather than attract people to them, it's almost like people step away from them because it's just there. And we don't like to think of Jesus putting people into the hands of torturers, but isn't that a kind of torture? When you're losing your life, when you're so bitter, you got broken relationships everywhere, isn't that like torture? And this is what Jesus is saying. But let's look back. There was one guy who owed 10,000 bags of gold. He could never pay it, no matter what happened. Isn't that reminiscent of us before Jesus? Could we ever pay back what we owed? Could we ever pay enough to be forgiven in our own right? Or did we need Jesus to die so it could all be forgotten and forgiven? So if we could see ourselves like that, how can we then not forgive somebody who's just a little debt? How can we not forgive? God knows unforgiveness separates and it damages us, and it's so important. That's why, if you like, the penalty sounds so awful here in the hands of the torturers. Two little stories and then I will finish. A lady and her husband, and I think they still are, lead the Toronto Airport Church, Carol and John Arnott. And Carol Arnott once told her life story, or an aspect of it, a certain aspect. And you might have heard this before, but Carol was physically beaten by her mother all through her childhood. She idolized her father because he didn't beat her. Mother did regularly beat her. She's married and something, you know, still not right within her. And God showed her that she needed to forgive her mother, which was a hard thing to do. No love there, no respect, one thing, because all she'd known was being beaten. And so God said, I want you to forgive your mother. But the way it happened was that God began to bring up remembrances to her of the times things had happened with her mother. And she said, sometimes it'd be one a day and I'd have to forgive that one thing. But other days, two or three incidents came back and she needed to forgive each one. She said this went on for nearly a year. So now we're talking maybe about hundreds of incidents where God reminded her of her response when her mother beat her. And in this process, she suddenly thought, well, where was my father in all of this? He didn't beat me, but he must have known what was going on, so why didn't he help me? And she suddenly realized, you know, that also was a barrier. Where was my dad when I was being beaten by my mother? This process went on for almost a year. And she said one day she went to see her mother and spent some time, and then she was about to leave, and she said, I'm going now then, mother, or mum, or mom, whatever the word is, or I'm leaving, ma'am. And she's walking out the door, and as she's going, she suddenly said, I'll see you, ma'am, or mum, I love you, and out she goes. She got outside the door, and she could not believe that she'd said, I love you. See, in the process of her forgiving, her heart had been changed. And it had released her in ways that could never have happened if she hadn't forgiven her mother. Did her mother deserve to be forgiven in one sense? Probably not. Do people sometimes deserve to be forgiven? No. Some people have had horrendous things done to them. But if they could realize it's damaging them. But you know what the beauty was for Carol Arnott? Her mother became a Christian. And she found out that her mother was also beaten as a child. But this was forgiving as God revealed it. I used to work at White Ways Winery. And I might have told you this before. It's where Roselands is now. And they did wine there. I only was there 3 months. And they did Sinatogen wine and all this, you know, that was good for your health. And one of the bonuses was they let everybody have a pint of cider every day, shipped it in these big barrels. But in those days, it wasn't metal casks, they were all wood. So he's even a cooper on site, you know, the guy who puts the metal round, little forge there. The way we did it, you filled up the barrels And then you had to put the corks in, so no screw things, they were corks. Now, cork on its own right is very hard. And the machine they had, it was actually, it wasn't very automated, we just had this big thing for plunging them in. Big brass funnel like you'd use in the kitchen for piping. And a plunger with a big lead weight on the top. But no matter what you did, the cork would not go in its solid state. So we used to have to soak them overnight. So we get a bucket, put all these corks in, and put a weight on the top that pressed them all down, because cork floats. You realise that, don't you? So we buried them in the water. We came in next morning, and you always, virtually every time, two or three corks had got the way out and floating on the top. That is a good illustration of how God, because now he's dealing with your heart, will bring incidents that you need to deal with. You don't need to sit down and say, now who should I forgive today? You allow God, through the Holy Spirit, to let another little cork pop to the top. Deal with that one. If Carolina had to deal with hundreds of situations at the same moment in time, she couldn't have done it. So God allowed a little cork today or two tomorrow. And that's the best way to do it. It's about the heart, and God's now written his laws in our hearts. He's working in our hearts. And just very briefly, Canadian pastor, they had a board there, and by that I think it's maybe elders and other people on this board, whatever they called it. He goes in one day and they sack him. Devastated him. He felt he'd been stabbed in the back. Friends on board turned against him. No reasons, he's just gone. And he learnt something in the process. He forgave. And he reminded us of the reading I said when Jesus said, I tell you not seven times, but 70 times seven times. And he realized something. Some situations have been so painful, so hurtful, that one forgiveness isn't enough. You might have to forgive again tomorrow, and the day after, until it's done. So what I'm saying, sometimes God allows little ones each day, sort it when he does, but some are so painful it might be more of a process of the same incident. And actually he found freedom, but it took time. The same incident, forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and put a steadfast spirit within me. Do what God says. Build on the rock, not on the sand, even if it's hard. In whatever sphere you are, trust God. Build on him, and when the storms come, you'll stand. Because without being built on him, without not trusting in him, often we'll just fall down under the pressure. It's grace that takes us through as we build on the rock. So allow God to change your heart. Because we're saved, but we've been saved. We're not perfect. God's making us more like Jesus day by day.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.